morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. We are going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I have got someone today as a guest, is a new city councilor. It's not her first time on the show. I had her on when she was running for office, and I must tell you, and I let me just say this, I think what she brings to the city council is inspiring and insightful and a positive contribution. And her name is, introduce yourself, please.
Alyssa Costa.
Alyssa Costa. And I watched you last night on the city council meeting. And I have to tell you, you were, I guess, the designated person to introduce everything. And you did it so professionally. And I know that sounds crazy. How hard is it? Well, I'll tell you, sometimes I say to them, did you read it before? You know, it's, I mean, none of this is, Plato's, it's just announcements of the mayor wants to do whatever. But it was a good meeting last night, I thought, too. I thought
you really
kind of shined, in my opinion. Oh, and by the way, so that nobody forgets, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, City Council, the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti, City Council, Peter White, and or the person riding their electric bike at 10 miles an hour down the sidewalk on North Street, avoiding the bike lane. There we go. I'm all set now. As my old boss used to say, I'm just not right, but I know that. But no, that really bugs me. We have bike lanes for people, and yet they insist upon riding those electric bikes on the sidewalk. I almost got run over coming out of Dottie's the other day.
Really annoying. I get that.
Yeah. So tell me, how do you like being a city councilor?
I love it. I have learned so much about city government. I've learned a lot about the challenges that residents of the city face. And through interactions, I've learned a lot from my fellow counselors.
Yeah.
And it's been a great experience. And I continue to learn and face the challenges that the city faces.
I believe you, all that you just said, you have done, but you have grown. I can't support anybody, or I don't. But one of the reasons I was happy you were running was because your previous experience in life made, I thought, in knowing you as I have, made you sensitive to the problems of the people. I think you do that. Yes, you understand the workings of government, but government is part of everybody's life. And I think sometimes when people in government, they forget that.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I think the work as a community organizer in public policy and advocacy definitely grounded me, and my work in with working cities and the Federal Reserve Bank around building the civic infrastructure of the city really helped me understand why people's lived experiences are the most important thing when we're developing policies, practices, and procedures. And we often forget that because we do. Everybody comes to government and their role with a unique perspective and life experiences. And we tend to take those experiences and make assumptions about how to fix things because it would fix it for us. And it's really hard to step outside of that. And I do understand that and empathize with that, but I also want to share that perspective with my fellow governors, to understand that just because it works for you and you think it will fix it, doesn't mean it fixes it for everyone, doesn't mean it doesn't cause harm to other people that we didn't think of. And so that lived experience voice is really valuable in the work
Yeah.
that we do.
Yeah. You bring a humanistic approach to legislating. And that, I mean, is a compliment because, I mean, even watching you and, through the city council meetings, and this is a compliment. My good friend, Churchill Cotton, was a city councilor. I've known Churchill since we were kiddos. He's a little bit older than me. But when you speak very much like when he spoke, people listened because you don't speak all the time. And that's a compliment. You speak when you have something to say that's prudent and relevant to the topic. That's my opinion. And that was
Yeah,
the same with Churchill.
I don't know how to speak when I don't have something to add. It would just be oftentimes I'll hear, I won't be the first to speak, or I'll listen to the other
Yeah.
counselors and they will have raised the points that I thought of or made valid points that made my thought irrelevant or changed my mind. I can't tell you how many times my mind has been changed in that debate or heard a nuance that I hadn't thought of. And it's one of the reasons why I love this particular council. I feel very honored to serve on it because we have what I think is very respectful, thoughtful debate. It's something I've had to get used to, this sort of instead of talking behind the scenes, like I think state government works. We literally have open debate. We haven't spoken to each other about an
Right.
issue before that moment for the most part. And it's at first that was really hard for me to process everything in
Absolutely.
that moment and make a decision. And that's taken me practice, but it's really valuable.
Yeah, and you use the word that most people don't abide by. They may know it and they may say it, but they don't often abide by it. It's called listening.
It's a skill.
I learned it when working with violent youthful offenders that, in fact, I had one say to me one time, "You are really the first adult who's ever listened to what I had to say." And it's true. I think you brought out an excellent point. When I listen to other people, I can change my mind. If their argument is, or their premise, makes more sense than mine, why not? I don't, I don't have an ego that big in, I mean, I got a big head, but that's
And
nature.
you can't know everything about a subject.
Exactly.
So, or you can't understand everybody's life experiences. And new information sometimes means that you change your mind. And that's, for me, that's a real bedrock to the conversation because
Yes.
I always say government is a conversation. And it's a conversation among government, but mostly with people.
Yeah.
So, and that's how it needs to work.
Yeah. Recently, I interviewed Paul Mark, and we talked about civics. And now civics has been put back in the curriculum of high school students because and I do a lot of talk to a lot of people and on a lot of interview a lot of people. Some people, through no fault of their own, through no fault, they don't understand civics. They don't understand that only the House of Representatives in the United States Congress can appropriate money. And so I'm so happy because I think, and I love, I got excuse me. Kudos to my station, WTBR, PCTV, listen, permitting people to watch the city council, the school committees, the subcommittees, The late great
Yeah.
Lou Markham, who just passed, would come on the show, and he and I would, he was like a civics lesson to people listening at the time about, because people would call in at the, I was crazy at that point. I did call-in shows. But they would call in and say, well, how can they spend $100 million just for a 5-minute discussion? What they hadn't realized, they'd been through three committees and they all approved it prior to that, you know?
Yeah, I actually felt that last night when we were going through the final vote on the budget.
Yes.
Because there was all this, there was no debate, there was all this silence, but we
It
had
was
so much
wonderful.
debate. There was so much debate in the subcommittee, in the committee of the whole, in the public hearings,
Yes.
that we nothing changed, like nobody reached out to us and changed our minds about anything. So but I thought, gosh, the people who may not have seen those public hearings are thinking, oh, we're just rubber stamping the mayor's budget kind of thing. And
Nothing
yet
could be
I
further from
didn't
the
feel
truth.
the I didn't feel the urge to explain that. I actually thought Councillor Warren explained
Right.
things really well to folks. So I was glad he did that.
Yeah, I think now with the civics back in the curriculum and all that, but I agree. I watched it. I was so I guess proud of the council. The debate, the slash and cut and all whatever. That had been done. Now it was time to, count the achievements, and they did it beautifully, yeah, in
Yeah.
my opinion. And I'm a
They,
citizen and a taxpayer.
yeah. And it's one of the reasons actually I've been so open about my learning process in city government. So I do videos on a regular basis as well as an email newsletter about what's going on to share what I'm learning, but also sort of pull back the veil on how city government works because we watch these. We watch the meetings, there's these motions, nobody knows what they mean. And so I go through the agenda, one agenda a month, usually, where I explain the different motions and what they mean and why certain spending goes to the finance committee instead of, we just approve it. It's because there's actually a rule that says anything over $250,000 needs to go to the finance committee.
Yep.
Things like that. To help people access government, hopefully, and say, oh, I could do this too. Like, we need more people running for office. And
Yeah.
that's one of the tools that I'm using, as well as my email that, sort of reflects on those meetings and says, I learned something this month and let me share it with you because it's valuable.
And you're open and you're sincere. And as far as I know, I don't think you have any hidden agendas. Just saying. I think
Very
you,
open agenda, yeah.
yeah. Well, yeah. And but again, I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you repeat yourself too, because I forget where I am at most of it. If it wasn't for this, I wouldn't know where I was. Your sincerity, your questions are relevant and sincere, and I have yet to hear what I would interpret as a hidden agenda question. And I can't say that for all your colleagues, but I can say it for you. Go
I
ahead.
don't think the conversation should be a gotcha moment. Oftentimes, because I actually want to know the answer, I don't want, it to have to call someone up from the administration and ask a question that they weren't prepared for doesn't get the answer sometimes. So
No.
I will often send my question ahead of time. And sometimes they typically respond with an answer and I'll read it and I'll say, oh, that's relevant to ask
Sure.
for the public because they're probably wondering that. And that's really interesting and helpful to know. If it's something like, okay, that was it. That whatever it was resolved my question, not super important. Or, oh, I didn't think that was a smart question. And pretty obvious, I'll not ask it. But if we want, if we're on TV and we want folks to learn something about the process, we need to make
Yeah,
sure that the
right.
departments can answer it.
Yeah, and I think the council as a whole, and I got the City Council President White. I think he handles sometimes some well, sticky wickets. I think he handles them very well. That's my opinion, and I've been watching City Council meetings a long time. The we have a we could have a very difficult time depending on the federal budget. That will affect the state budget, will affect which affects our budget.
Absolutely.
And I really think, and argue with me if you like, I think you guys kind of took some of that into play doing this budget.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of trepidation, and it does trickle down. So I
Yeah.
do housing advocacy work on the state and federal level for my day job.
Right.
And there is this cautious feeling on the state level. And so that does trickle down when the city is not sure how much funding is going to come from the state government or if the federal government is going to
Yeah.
cut key funding like education funding. We wouldn't be able to make up the federal funding that we get. And it would be extremely problematic. It would be horrible for our community. And knowing that, we want to make sure that there's at least some money in free cash, that we are fiscally sound, and it stinks. I want to be able to get more money into the state, co into our coffers, so we
Sure.
could reinvest in all of the infrastructure that has been neglected over the years, so that we can, support all that restructuring of our schools that is going to make our school system work better, all those things.
Yeah.
And it's a constant battle.
I seeing you went off on that a little bit of a tangent. I've said this a thousand times on air, and I mean it. Since going back to Dr. Eberwein, Jake Eberwein, it may be before, but I don't, like I said, I don't remember where the refrigerator is, so you're lucky I remember his name. But the school committee in the school department, I love watching their meetings because they bring facts and data. And I don't know if you watched the one where the guy talked about AI. I interviewed him. The guy is an absolute genius. And we, I applaud the school department, school committee for getting ahead of this AI thing, not being playing catch up.
Yeah, it's important. And folks don't, I don't know how much the folks follow the school committee or the city council. There's certain people who do and don't. You have certain levels of free time and make those decisions, but it is a really tough job to be on the school committee. And I'm so excited so many people are running this year. I hope that everybody who pulled papers runs. It would be
Yeah.
really exciting to have some vibrant debate for our schools this year.
Yeah, and I think too of the interim superintendent and a lot of the change. I'm glad too. I last the last what was the last school committee that there wasn't hardly anybody running, I think, right?
Yeah, we barely get six people to fill the seats.
How's that?
So it is a really tough job. And especially with what the school committee has been dealing with, you have to be confident enough to walk into that and be open to whatever comes your way. So really grateful to the folks who have pulled papers for that. Same for all the people at large. I love lively debate and
Yeah.
the opportunity to hear different ideas. It's really valuable to our local government and democracy in general.
To my viewers and listeners, I hope you're hearing this lady, because that's her. She will open and listen and look at your viewpoint. That this is the lady that I have known for a long time in various positions. And that's why I thought she'd be an excellent fit. And I like her, but I still saw, I still promoted her for city council. That's kind of a, was that love-hate relationship? Somebody said to me, "Why don't you run for the city council?" I said, "Time out, dude. Time out. At my age, you don't run for things. You run from
Run,
things."
run.
But no, but seriously, and I know I belabor this point, but I think it's a point worth belaboring. You bring the humanity to the decisions, and I don't care what the decision is. When you say something, I hear what I hear is me, human being. She's looking at me, old fat bald guy. But still, and I think sometimes that gets lost in the mishmash and the back and forth between, maybe direct city department heads and counselors. I heard a I you'll appreciate this, I think. So a guy's going on and on about the rotary. And he's saying, the plow's this and the plow's that and the plow's this. So I said to him, "Oh, so you've driven a plow?" "Oh no, I never drove a plow." "Well, how can you know about it then?" And it's those kinds of things. But the issue is, we have a city. I think we're at a good point. I think we're in a turning point. Kind of the message for those people who for years hung on to that rope saying, "GE will come back, GE will come back." Dude, they tore the buildings down. They're not coming back. And so now we've got a new breath, I think. And that could just be me or wishful thinking on my part, because I love this city.
I love the city too. It's the city I chose to move to and stay in. I think you're right. There's a lot of talk. I can't tell you how many times, and even the last week, I've heard the city is on the cusp.
Yes.
We're just, and I've always felt that energy and potential throughout the city. But that doesn't mean that progress isn't at risk. It doesn't mean that. We're gonna make the perfect decisions that get us there in a certain amount of time. There's so much I learn all the time about how the city works. You're talking about roads, complain, gosh, I blew a tire this year. When I used to, before I was on city council, I'd drive around and I'd be like, they just paved that road. Why are they tearing it
Cutting it,
up to do
yes.
utility work? But what I do is I don't just ask the question to the void. I reach out to our department heads and ask, what's happening here? Why are we not planning this better? And they do. I actually learned they do plan with Eversource and Spectrum and when and the gas and Berkshire Gas and let them know when we're paving roads if they need work to do there. But sometimes there's just an emergency. Someone's sewer backs up, something
Yeah.
happened. And it's really frustrating, but that's just part of aging infrastructure. And it's something that we have to be prepared for as much as possible.
No, you're right. And I'm an expert on aging infrastructure because mine's all aging and it's cracking and breaking. And
We all get there eventually, if
yeah,
we're
but
lucky.
somebody said, what did they say? See you next week? I said, maybe. You could the it is a good point, and I do I will I the planning piece is so critical, and I think if I think we need to not take well, how do I finish one job? If I have heard comments that people have wanted to come on the show and complain about the streets. I mean, everybody has their issue with the streets. But
Right.
I think you're right. We're trying to catch up for a long period of time. Same with school maintenance.
All
I don't know.
building maintenance. All building maintenance.
All building, you're exactly right. It's like our house. If it needs a new whatever, you put it in. You don't say, "Well, I'll wait until next year," because next year it's going to be more expensive and blah blah blah. But I like the way the mayor and his administration, they're handling it. But I also like the way most, and I qualify that, most of the council handles it. I don't think it's how you ask a question. I was taught that many years ago in interrogator school. It's how you ask a question, and you don't have to be Einstein to pick out a snarly question. And you, especially you, because you don't ask snarly questions. We're gonna take a break. I'm here today with Alyssa Costa. This lady, I think the world of her. I think I really love the way she approaches her job as city councilor. We'll talk more when we come back. This is, ready? WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301 if you have Spectrum Cable. I am proud to announce that we are now broadcasting into Southern Berkshire. So, Tanglewood's coming up. You look for the old fat bald guy on the lawn Sunday afternoons. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. This good-looking lady you see there is Alyssa Costa. She is a member of the Pittsfield City Council. And a good one, in my opinion. And because I watch those things, because I don't have a life, you know, I go to bed at, well, yeah, I got to talk to White about that too. We can't be running too much after 8 o'clock because you're cutting into my sleep time. And I appreciate the one last night was very good. And usually in what last night's meeting at the city council was the final approval of the budget. Now, for those people who have, like me, watch that, there's been years when I got to go to bed, man. I'll find out in the morning how it made out. But because the work was done in the subcommittees and committees, the final approval was pretty just a perfunctory thing they had to do, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it takes a long time to go through the budget. And, outside of city council meetings, we spend probably hours ourselves combing through it. As somebody from the nonprofit world, I'm looking as carefully as I can for overspending or where we can save money. Sure. And it was a tight one this year. I couldn't find it. The mayor and the departments did a really good job at that, but it's tough. Sometimes I wish we could spend more, but we cannot.
Yeah, and I do think too the spending, some of the subcommittee meetings I watched, and certainly the council meetings, I thought the questions, except for a few people, you know, have hidden agendas. I don't know whether they do or they don't, but. It came across to me, but I thought they were fair questions, and they were questions taxpayer focused. Some people say, well, I'm doing it for the, not always in Pittsfield. I'm doing this for the taxpayer. No, you're not. You're doing it for a reason beyond. But I really felt this year, the debates at the committee hearings and stuff were taxpayer based.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's who we hear from the most, the folks who are really struggling to pay their property taxes and are really frustrated, as we all are, as federal and state funds dwindle. You know, the brunt of this falls more and more on our local property owners. And it's, to be blunt, it stinks. It's just, and how do we keep vital services while helping local taxpayers? And it feels like an impossible task, honestly.
Oh, I know.
You just can't win.
I really feel badly for some of you on the council, because, you know, yes, I'd like to fund it 200%, but we can only fund it 25. And, you know, like I said, you are a humanity-based person. I think I try to be a humanity-based person. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, because my wife and I lived it. I mean, both of us were she got laid off, and I was told that I was going to get laid off from the police department. So, you know, we've been through it. And I think of all the federal people who've been laid off, there's no transition plan. It's just, your computer shut off, you're escorted out of the building. Well, I've worked here for, you know, 4, 5, 10 years, whatever it was. So I you bring that humanity to it. And I know I repeat myself, but sometimes we need to hear that we're not just elected. They're not just elected officials. They're human beings too. And hopefully they're thinking of us as human beings. And I know she does.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, one of the big ghosts out there, and I bring it up because you are a caring, giving person, homelessness.
Hmm.
Boy, oh boy, did they light a firecracker there. And it's not even the 4th of July.
It's a growing problem, concern on all sides. There's a lot of, I would say, righteous frustration all around, right? We have, as somebody who works in housing, I am acutely aware of the fact that we, you know, here in the Berkshires and beyond, there is a deep struggle for housing stability, particularly among our lowest income residents. There is not enough housing vouchers and support to go around. It is only worsening as the federal government threatens to do things like cut services. We regularly in the Berkshires, because of our declining population, lose access to affordable housing. It falls into disrepair, and we can't, it's hard to get it back. We see things like White Terrace, how long it takes projects to build housing, or that an investor purchases an apartment building and then doubles the rents on Phyllis.
Right.
You know, it's literally happening in Pittsfield right now. And
I know,
we don't have enough shelter beds. We don't have enough affordable apartments. And we have other growing challenges that are not being addressed. And there is a challenge that every city is having right now. Where are people supposed to go? What can they do? Where can they be safe? And it's very complex. For as many homeless individuals as there are reasons for homelessness. It ranges from domestic violence and income struggles, health, health struggles, loss of job, all of those things. Sometimes it's multiple things. And we are not solving it because it's so systemic. Also, we want a thriving downtown, and our businesses are saying this is hurting our business. And I hear that a lot as well. It is so challenging to figure this out. And the mayor, in response to these challenges, chose his avenue for trying to resolve it. Had I wished he had done it in a, sparked our conversation, as he likes to say, in a different way, of course. But here we are. And if there's nothing I love more than digging into the mess of community and all the conflicting needs and trying to get people to work together to figure it out. And that's what I'm hoping and working very hard to do here.
And you have to understand, I did a show on it. I will send you a link. And you did it. It's a multi-dimensional problem. It's not just for many people, it's not just a place to live. It's why they don't have the place to live.
Yeah.
And I think probably one of the most insightful, educational, experiential times I had was as a beat cop on North Street, and meeting these people at 2 and 3 in the morning, who have been sleeping in an alleyway, or they have other mental health issues, or they a plethora, as they say. So I love these people that just say, well, just give them an apartment. It's more than that. Some of them won't go into an apartment. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to be around. Two instances I can think of. One, years and years ago, of a guy that lived in the woods out by Berkshire Life. Another one, not so many years ago, of an Afghan or Iraqi veteran who's had horrible PTSD and did no longer want to be around people and lived in a cabin up in the hill towns. All I can say is, how do I want to say this? Also, it's not an easy fix. And I get so frustrated when I watch those, open mics. Well, it's not that easy. It really isn't. Like you said, mental health issues. I mean, there's some issues, just kids that got, like you said, the rent got jacked up so high. I'm working with a lady right now who has that problem.
I have several constituents who have reached out to me about similar problems, and it's heartbreaking because I think we all want our neighbors to be able to have a safe, healthy place to live. Like that is, Absolutely. To me, a basic human right.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anybody in this community who doesn't want that for everybody. But we have created a world where that is not possible at this moment. And, you know, we as a collective, you know, in this country, and we certainly have the resources to solve this issue in our country. And we are not using those resources in that way. And that is extremely frustrating for me. So here we are at the bottom of the funnel of funding, trying to solve this challenge for our community, our neighbors, our friends, our family members. There are no throwaway people.
Right.
And we do not have a luxury, a privilege to do that. So what can we do? What can we do to make it even just a little bit better? How can we do things differently? How can we manage our resources differently? Something that is going to make some sort of dent in this to ease suffering.
Yeah, it may not come out the way I mean it to come out, but and I don't mean it in a hateful or crude way. But we got to start looking at people with their issues other than homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to tie it together to heal it. And
yes.
Say, okay, say off the top of my head, because I actually got one in the old Doyle rehab years ago, and he's fine. I've been sober for probably 30 years. But he was living on the street because he was an alcoholic. And his family just couldn't tolerate him being anymore. He must have been more abusive. He never was abusive to me. I was a cop. but we have to do that. We just can't say it's a homelessness problem, because it's a homelessness problem caught up in a much larger universe.
It is a community problem.
Yes.
And we all own a piece of it.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable to think of in that way, because I didn't do anything in particular to cause anybody to be homeless.
Yeah.
But if we don't align somehow, we're just going to continue as we always have. And I mean, we've been trying to crack this nut for decades, probably centuries. There have been, if you look back at the old Pittsfield papers, there's complaints about vagrants. And all the same things we're dealing with now, just with different names. It's not, it feels worse because it has gotten worse in our lifetime. You know, we almost ended homelessness in the early 1980s. Like, homeless shelters were closing in the 1980s.
Right.
We have reversed that trend, unfortunately, and it's growing exponentially right now. I know that the governor and many organizations are working toward building more housing, which is part of our challenge. There's some studies coming out that say how much housing shortage we have in our region, which is surprising because we've had this like decreasing population, right?
Yeah.
But we're tearing down buildings, because we haven't been able to preserve them. We are losing housing as we need more.
And
it's just a lot. But I also, I'm encouraged that we had a public health and safety meeting where we had, it was really informative to hear from so many of our service providers about what's happening, what they see in the community, what the city is seeing, to be able to understand the challenge a little bit better. And I encourage anybody, if you're curious about this issue, to watch that public health and safety subcommittee meeting. It's long. We paraded a bunch of folks out and asked a lot of questions, but it was really helpful. And it that balanced with the perspectives of the economic challenges that brings to our community, maybe we can get somewhere else.
The issue is, you have to address the issues.
the root cause.
Single issue.
And, right.
And then
multiple systems have failed people who are homeless.
Exactly.
They've fallen through every crack there is.
And they bring different, they present differently. The problems that they bring looking for, you know, I have to say, I don't know who was responsible for it, but the old white terrorist, I drive back and both the Polish princess and I cannot believe how beautiful it looks. I mean, it is wonderful. Now.
Yes.
We have to ensure it stays looking beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
And I know there's a lot of people committed to it. Again, the homelessness problem. Alyssa's in it far more than I am, Alyssa. But I understand it, and like I said, I get frustrated at people who just want to put you in a hotel room. It's more than that, and 90% of the cases, you deal with it every day.
Yeah, it's. It is challenging, and also part of the answer is more housing, and it's expensive to build housing, Bill.
Yeah,
it has gotten so expensive. It is insane. I cannot lie about this. It costs roughly $450,000 to $500,000 per unit to build right now.
Yeah,
we in the Berkshires do not demand the rent.
Right.
That make them feasible investment, and that's, you know, capitalism, whatever. But we need so much more subsidy here than in Boston and the Boston metro area, because they can demand much higher rents, because
right.
our wages here are so much lower.
Yeah.
And we have so many people living below the poverty line that they cannot afford those rents. So without those subsidies from the state, it was like $19 million, I think, to just, you know, build white terrace or some ridiculous amount of money. It's really a challenge that we have to tackle. I'm grateful for the governor for doing the and the legislature for doing the Affordable Homes Act, authorizing over $5 billion for housing over the next next five years, but again, that's all not going to be spent. We can't borrow that much money with our tax base. So what we get is going to be what we get, but we've got to fight for it.
And also remember this, that some of that money is earmarked from federal funds that could be cut too.
Yes.
You know, I mean, right now, I heard somebody said, either a state legislator, Congress, or somebody, trying to develop a budget in today's day and age is like trying to get a firm stance in quicksand.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way of putting it.
It's a great analogy, because there's certain things we absolutely know. We have to have police, and we have to have fire, and we have to have EMS. We have to have our roads plowed in the winter. You know, every year I sit, don't take the offense at this, but every year I see the city council drag Kerwood over the hot coals for the salt. Well, unless you got a direct line to God, I don't know what the winter's going to be. Neither does Kerwood. We can go on past history, but I can remember by March we still had 4 feet of snow on the ground. I'm not so quick to criticize. What you know, there's some things that are set in concrete, like the salaries of the police department. But then, because we remain in civil service, it takes forever to fill a vacancy. So now it's all, you have to have so many firefighters, so many cops, so many on the street. And to criticize the department heads, to me, is like kicking a puppy. There's nothing they can do.
Yes and no. I do understand there is unpredictability, there is predictability, there is also thoughtful planned system change. We don't have to do it one way just because it's always been done that way. We base our government and the way things are structured on the past.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't realize how much the world has changed or how we want to change the world. And I think there is room in that space. It is hard, and it's hard to, you know, it's something that the city council doesn't have a lot of control over. We are not a full-time body. So the mayor is the one that proposes a lot of things, and then we respond to it. So it's similar to the budget. We don't get to write the budget. But there is room for us to change things. We have to understand the issues better and figure out what world we want to be in, what we want our community to look like, and then make those thoughtful transitions. It's not easy, but I think it's important as we face a world that is changing rapidly, whether it's climate change, the political spectrum, whatever it is, we need to be more adaptive.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but as a person who's had to schedule mandatory bodies, mandatory to do the jobs that need to be done, mm-hmm. I look at the adaptations from when I was a cop to the police department, and Chief Dolly's doing the same now.
Yeah,
they have become much more flexible. They're when Absolutely. I was a cop, it was 4 to midnight, midnight yes. 8, you know, 8 to 4. God willing, we'll have, you know, whatever. And to me, it was like, well, you know, after 3, this used to be the way. It isn't that way anymore. But after 3 o'clock, basically, all you heard were dogs barking. So,
yeah.
they weren't open to change. At that point, they are now. And the other part too is, and you can use this if you like down in your political career, the old civil service saying, well, we've always done it that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we have that now with Chief Sammons, with Chief Dowley, because they've had to be.
Yeah,
civil
absolutely.
Service has made them. And I think what the council should look at and the mayor should look at with the unions is, do we really want to stay in civil service? Because right now we never had unions. We had associations. Now they have a union more powerful than civil service. And mm-hmm. civil service has not done, in my opinion, civil service has not kept up with the 20th century, never mind the 21st.
It is an ongoing discussion. It is. And, you know, what the cops respond to are very different. And that's why we have co-responders, which is an adaptation.
Yeah.
And we want more co-responders or more social workers to be deployed by themselves without a police officer. Because the police are responding to so many things that they don't, you know, that they've had to adapt to, that they don't need to. And it takes away from their core responsibilities.
No,
and it costs a lot.
I'm not arguing that, but the social worker has to, and believe me, I know enough about social workers.
I know you
The social worker has to know enough to say, I got to get a cop here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or I'm not going to leave here, whatever.
Yes.
Listen, all I can tell you is thank you for running. Here's $1 million question. You ready?
Yes.
You run again?
I am running again.
That's good news to my ears. And I wish you the very best. And when the campaign starts, I'll have you back on again.
Great.
I think you bring a new vision, some new life and breath. But more importantly, you bring understanding of so many of the social problems we're dealing with.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you anytime.
Well, you keep up the good work. And just remember, when you're sitting there and in the midst of a hot, heated discussion, Bill is in his recliner, perhaps with an adult beverage or two. I told Marchetti if he would put recliners and a bar in the back, I would attend the meetings live, but he said no to both. But to my listeners and viewers, God bless. I know that upsets some of you, but I believe in it. God bless. And it's me, saintly Irish mother, I always say, this is something when you see a homeless person, rather than be critical, say, here but for the grace of God go I. Because we never know what tomorrow will bring. And today, help somebody lift their burden. Give them a call, smile, crack a joke. Let them cut ahead of you. It means nothing. We're all in this together, and we need each other. Kindness costs nothing. There's enough hatred and anger in the world. I don't want to be part of it. I'd rather be me, old fat ball guy. Alyssa, God, why do I do that?
God, Alyssa.
We'll catch up. Oh, I'll tell you, mind is a terrible thing to lose. If you find mine, drop it off. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Take care.
You're a great interview. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.